This morning we are in Psalm 103, so if you have your Bible, Psalm 103, a favorite for probably many of us and a well-recognized and known psalm, Psalm 103. I will read just the first five verses, but I will go through the entirety of the chapter as we move along. Psalm 103, I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And then it goes on. And there are so many other things that are listed there. We'll touch on those momentarily. But what a great psalm. And I think so many of us are familiar with this psalm. But this psalm is something incredible. It is extremely comprehensive, if I can use that word. It is comprehensive. Note, if you read in your scriptures or if your app is open, that those who are called to praise the Lord, look at who those people are and who they are. In verses 1 through 5, as we read, it is the self. David himself is saying, I, me, myself, self, you praise the Lord. And in verses 3 and 5, it can be read that he's calling others as well, but he's really talking about himself, I believe, in verses 3 to 5. And then he moves on and he calls Israel to praise the Lord in verse 7. And then in verses 11 through 13, he calls on all those who fear the Lord. Does that include you this morning? I'm in that number. Does that include you this morning? Amen. Verses 14 to 16, even the mortals, everybody else, anything that will die, that is temporary, praise the Lord. And then in verses 20 to 21, he calls on the angels and all the heavenly hosts to praise the Lord, to bless the Lord. And finally, in verse 22, he calls all of creation to praise the Lord. That encompasses everything and everyone. It's inclusive. It's comprehensive. It's all of it. From me, myself, and I, if you will. If you love my voice, forgive me. It's because I did a lot of fun yelling and singing last night at the mission. Hallelujah, that was awesome. But listen, it's all. Everyone is invited. And he's telling them, have you ever talked to yourself? It's okay to admit that, by the way. All right? It's all right. Have you ever talked to yourself, Carolyn? I hear it all day long. I hear it all day long, Carolyn talking to herself, right? I talk to myself too. We talk to ourselves. It's okay. It's actually a sign of good mental health. I think. Talking to yourself is important. It really is. Whether you do it verbally or just in your mind, but you take yourself and you tell the self something. Right? Like we do silly things like, Bob, where did you put those keys? You know, or it could be more serious or severe, and I won't mention what that might be, but you can talk to yourself, right? To remind yourself or to bring back to memory something, and we talk to ourselves a lot. To bring focus, we talk to ourselves sometimes, right, Nick? When you're working on your truck, all of a sudden you're talking to yourself, and where is that stinking wrench? Wait, how does this bolt go into that? There's no way that fits. How did I get that out in the first place? And we start talking to each other. We have a whole conversation with ourselves and the tools. But we talk to ourselves. It's important. But we see precisely that happening here in this psalm. David is talking to himself. His real self, his soul, who he really is, he's talking to himself. And David says this. He tells himself right in the beginning, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Again, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Bless the Lord. It's so comprehensive, and yet this psalm is so personal. It opens, as we just read, with this threefold address to the self. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And this psalm is not addressed to the Lord, but to David himself, and to the angels in the end, of course. And as I mentioned, here we see the self calling the self to praise the Lord, because we so often forget to do that in all of our self-absorption. Oh man, it happens so easily. And I even talk to myself about that sometimes, don't you? I do. I won't tell you what I say. But we do that. Why did David have to command his soul three times? Why? He says, my soul, praise God, praise God, praise God, and don't forget. It's so important what he says here, because if you go three psalms over in Psalm 106, he identifies something so profound that we forget, and it's so important. And he identifies forgetting as the root cause of all the wandering, the grumbling, and the rebellion of God's people after their deliverance from Egypt. He states it point blank in Psalm 103. And isn't that true of us as well? We know God. We know his works. We know his ways. We know his will. Because we've read about it. We know it. But still, and maybe it kind of gets even into our heart where it should be, right? But still, we forget. We forget. We're forgetful people. And so he says, my soul, praise God, praise God, praise God. And don't forget. Don't forget. We have a tendency, don't we, to take God's blessings for granted. I got to be honest. I love the coast, the seashore. It's like my, I love it. Right, Lynn? Oh, yeah, you too. I love the coast. And we live in Rhode Island. And no matter what you might think and what people who've been here forever think, it's a beautiful state. And we kind of get tired of Rhode Island and we get tired and whatever. And if you're in the States, that might happen too. We become so accustomed, we're so used to the beauty we have around us. It could be the mountains of Colorado. It could be whatever else, other feature geographically there is. But we have this beautiful coastline and just the sea itself and the waves. I could watch it all day long. I guess I'm that simple. I don't know. I could. And it's wondrous. The sunset, the colors, the rocky shore, Little Compton, wherever you go, Beavertail, and seeing the waves crash on that point. And just, it's incredibly beautiful and awe-inspiring. But we get so used to it, we forget it's even there. And then if you lived in Rhode Island, you may have not gone to some of these beautiful places since 40 years ago. And you kind of lose, like, you forget. Because you haven't gone. You haven't remembered. Wait a minute, our coast is beautiful. Wait, there is a lot to see here of God's natural wonder that he's created. It's incredible. And we forget. And it all causes us as believers, as those who recognize God as the creator, to say, God, you're awesome. And we get so used to it, we forget. You know, it's like when you bring someone that's never been to the ocean or to the coast, and they're visiting Rhode Island, and you take them to Newport or to Beavertail, wherever else, and they're like, whoa, this is awesome. You live here? This is incredible. It's beautiful. And you're like, yeah, you know, it's there every day. I'm only 20 miles away. And we kind of get that way with a lot of things. And we can get that way with our Lord, our God, our Savior. And we can forget the beauty because we're so used to knowing that that view is our home, right? We don't even visit it. It's here. I'm not going to go there. And we have a tendency to take God's blessings for granted. That's why we have to be reminding our soul and tell ourself to be reminded and not forget how great God is and all his benefits. We can even associate the blessings of God to other causes if we don't remember the goodness of God. How many times, let's be honest, and I'm not suggesting there's nothing damnable or something to that effect, but think about this. You have a crazy headache. It's a simple thing. You pop a couple Advil or Excedrin or whatever you take to do that, and you may have thrown up a quick prayer to God maybe, And all of a sudden, 25 minutes goes by, half hour, 45 minutes. And you're like, wait a minute, my headache, it feels a little better. Oh, man, I'm so glad. I'm so grateful for that Excedrin. We can catch ourselves doing that. And it could be other things. You think about them. And I can keep listing things I've done that with. But what about God? What about God? It's His goodness revealed even in that medication. Even in the way He provides for everything. And we get so accustomed to that. And we associate the blessings of God to other causes. It's God. It's through His goodness, His wisdom. It's God. And He deserves all that blessing and praise from our soul, doesn't He? David was giving thanks to God for blessings. And the benefits that were personal, and they were also in the present, right? In verses 3 to 5, don't forget all His benefits or His blessings. We'll use that word as well. For what? He had forgiven all His iniquities. And words are important. All. If David knew anything about iniquities and sin, he was the guy to write about this, knowing the goodness of God. He forgave all his iniquities. Now, before, I don't have time to do this, but just as a little aside or a little thought here, before we go through this little list and move on through the scripture, there are some people who believe, and some scholars who believe, and have certain theological bents, and I'm not criticizing that or anything at all, and that's fine, there's truth to it, that this is something that is futuristic. Right? Looking to the future. And it's not anything now present. And there are some people who have that view. And I believe that it encompasses the past, the present, and the future. Not just the future. Like looking to the millennial reign of Christ or when we're with God and in glory forever. And everything is perfect and beautiful. And we can really realize that everything is actualized where all these blessings are ours completely, every moment, all the time in His presence. That's coming and it's true. But these are all something that David had already experienced, and he was experiencing. And he's saying, bless the Lord, because He's forgiven all my iniquities, who forgives all your iniquity. And the tense is that it happened, and it's ongoing, and it will keep going. So forgiveness isn't just past. It's present, and it will be available in the future. Praise God. Forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases. I'm sorry, but I will simply say, for those who are true cessationists and who do not believe that God heals and even that gift or that God can move in supernatural ways, it's not biblical. God still heals. God still heals. No, we don't demand to God that He heals or what He does, but God heals today, right now. And I can ask every time for God to heal me. Do I demand it of Him? We talked about this in our class, right? No, we don't do that. That's out of line. Amen? You can't do that. But God heals. You know what we do? We can read a psalm like this, and we can say, He forgives all our iniquity. And we're all excited, and we keep standing on that, and we want to tell everybody. And then we read, who heals all your diseases. And then in our mind, all of a sudden, because there's been so much doctrine that has dampened the moving of the Spirit and the power of God moving, and that has caused so much doubt and lack of expectation for God to do it today, that we're afraid of how we even ask for God to heal or to believe that He not only healed, but He still heals, and He will heal ultimately. Amen? And we'll have complete healing in the future. Praise God. That's a guarantee. Amen? But He heals. And so then we try to say, well, if this, just ask. Do you believe that God has healed you before, not just of your sins and your heart condition, but that He's healed you physically? I don't have to tell you all my testimonies. You know some of them, about how God healed me when I was 3 years old. About my mother, about many other people. And there are testimonies sitting here of God healing. Today. Like today. He heals today. And so He's praising God. And one of the benefits was He heals all your diseases. You don't think that He had in mind the conversation and the discussion that God had with Moses, and God reveals Himself to Moses, and He's Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals? And then he says in another psalm that you spoke His word later on, and He healed all their diseases. That God didn't heal physically. Of course He healed physically, and He still can. You just can't demand it, but you can know that God is your healer physically, spiritually, emotionally. In every way, God is still a healer, and he heals all your diseases, past, present, and future. I wish that I had, and I regret that I had not had to play for you in this service something I just stumbled across very recently that happened some time ago. And honestly, I'm going to forget his name because I didn't write it down, and I just came to my mind. I have to share this with you. And there was a man who was a pastor of a church. I believe it was in Texas or was it Florida? It was Texas or Florida. He came down with a condition. It's kind of strange that this is happening. It's weird. With my voice. But he had a condition where he lost his voice and he couldn't preach anymore after 35 years of preaching. And Lee Strobel, in one of his sermons, he mentioned this and he used his example and he played him. And he had gone to dozens and dozens, over 200 doctors around the world, to figure out what the situation was and why his voice was lost. He could barely speak. And they said, there's nothing we can do. This is it. And to go through that and to have to live with that, not being so, you know, aged in his life and being in his, you know, 50s, whatever he was, and to lose your voice and to, it's incredible. He could speak, but barely. And then something happened after all these years, and he got asked to come to the church that he used to be at. He used to minister at. And they, of all things, the youth group asked him to come and speak. And he came to speak, and he was actually speaking on Psalm 103. And in Psalm 103, he was reading this, and as he's talking, you can hear his voice. He could barely get it out. He had a microphone, a special microphone that has greater pickup, and he's reading it, and it's barely coming out. He's talking like this, and he's barely speaking. And as he's going through, you can hear it. It's recorded. It's documented. His voice clears up, and he speaks as if he's absolutely healed. God still heals. Why am I emphasizing this? Because we have de-emphasized this. I'm not saying we put all our attention on this. But we have thrown it away, and we don't even talk about come for healing, let's pray for healing, God can heal, he is a healer. We just kind of like, yeah, that's okay, but let's forgive our sins. That's okay. It's all part of the package. This is a package of benefits. You can't throw out one and leave the other. Do you believe that? I do. I believe that 100%. And he moves on. He says, look at these benefits that are personal and present. He redeems your life from the pit. He redeems his life from destruction. He pulled it out. Let me ask you a question. Not only is this a possible reference, and I think there is, to hell itself and to being lost, right? Ultimately, it's a picture of that. He pulled us out of there in our sins and in our spiritual deadness and separation from God, and he pulled us out. But what about that pit? Have you ever been in a pit, and even more recently a pit, where you thought, I am so done. I'm between a rock and a hard place. I don't know how to get out. There's no way this will ever get better. How? And you've gotten so low, you can never get out of that pit. Do you ever think Joseph thought about that? Do you ever think Job thought about that? Do you ever think the prophets ever thought about that? How about Jonah? He was in a pit of sorts. And God saved him from destruction, and God will pull you out. It's present, and you can recall, and you remember that he did it in the past. He does it today, and he will do it in the future. And then we'll never be in a pit when we're with him forever. Amen? Praise the Lord. Who redeems your life from the pit. He also crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Think about that. That royalty. We don't deserve that, but he puts a crown on you, and he treats you like royalty. And it creates that picture in my mind of when the prodigal son came to his senses. His dad never went out and chased him, but he came to his senses. And he says, whoa, if I just go back. And his dad was there with arms open. And what was his treatment? Like a slave and a lowlife? No. He was treated like a royalty. Get the best robe. Get a ring. Get some sandals. Get the best bull or calf. And let's slaughter that and let's have a feast. Let's have the biggest barbecue we ever had. There's a similarity here. When God takes us and he crowns us with that loving kindness and his tender mercy. You know what this speaks of? And it encourages me. It gives me so much comfort. And yet it gives me so much confidence to go to God, to be with God, to walk with God, to know that this God is my God, that has all these benefits. And it's Him that I'm looking for, and I bless Him because He's blessed me so much. I don't bless Him so I could benefit. I've been benefited so much from what He's done in my life that I can do nothing but praise Him and glorify Him. Amen? He has satisfied you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I clumped them together, but can you even count how many good things? We just think of all the bad things. We think of the hardships. We think of the negative things, the things that have brought us down, that cause us to despair. But can you just think and remind yourself and tell your soul like David did that there are so many good things, that He has satisfied us with good so that our youth is not renewed like the eagles. Everything good He's given us, and that good energizes us. He renews our strength like the eagle. Can you say Isaiah 40? You know Isaiah 40? Right? Those who wait in the Lord, they'll rise up as eagles with wings, and they'll soar, and they're going to run. They're not going to get tired. They're just going to keep going. They're going to have that stamina. We all get weary. Are you tired? Are you seeing only the bad things? Do you feel like God's forgotten you and doesn't view you as His child, as a royal priesthood? Are you in a pit and you feel like you'll never get out? Are you ill? Are you sick in some way, in your body, in your mind, in other ways, and you think you'll never get healed? God can heal. And if He doesn't do it now, He'll do it when we see Him, because it'll be all new. Hallelujah. And maybe you think that you're so steeped in sin that God will never forgive you. Has He forgiven you already through Christ? All your iniquities? He can take them all again, and He won't tire doing it, because the blood of Christ is sufficient. I'm blown away again at all these benefits, and I'm blessed when I read them and I'm encouraged. There are certain benefits, right, to jobs that you have and that actually you don't get if you aren't a part of that team, right? It feels like benefits and packages are going away more and more, right? With employers and things like that, they're getting lessened. But there are packages and benefits to being part of the team or certain jobs. Listen, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus, you do not have the same benefits as a believer or a child of God. Many of you might want the benefits without being an employee. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Even if you don't have them, you do have the benefit of a God who is relentlessly pursuing you. Think about that. You can have all these benefits. If only you receive them, stop running. Stop trying to save yourself. Rest in the fact that God wants to give you these benefits because of what Jesus has done for you. And Paul writes in his epistle that there are the riches of Christ. They're just huge. There are so many of them. You can't get to the bottom of that treasure chest of the riches that are in Christ Jesus. It's incredible. All of these benefits are found in Christ for His children today. Does it always work out the way you want it? Does it always happen the way you demand it? No. No. God's bigger than you. But these are available to us. And we can ask them for us. We can walk in them. We can praise God for them. Which personal blessings do you need to remember today to ignite your soul? In other words, all of who you are, everything that you are, so that you would worship and praise God. And so David gave thanks for God's blessings and these benefits that were so personal and present. But notice also in verses 6 to 19 that David was also thankful for just the general character of God. Look at what he does. He works righteousness and righteous justice for all who are oppressed. Think about that. He always does what is right, treats everyone fairly, perfectly, and he's just in all he does, and that judgment is perfect every time, and he's looking out for those who are oppressed, pushed down, heavy, pushed aside, disregarded, troubled. He executes righteous judgment. He's perfect in his righteousness and his judgment of every situation that comes before him. And secondly, the Lord is merciful and he's gracious. He's slow to anger. We sang about this. And he's abounding in mercy. I love that word, abounding in mercy. Abounding in mercy. What does that mean, abounding in mercy? That it's like, it's going like this, but it keeps getting bigger. And it's like, you know, it's like a flood, and it goes to the dam, and you see by the dam that it's getting higher, and it's getting higher, and then it goes over, and it goes even higher, and you're this much over the dam, but then it gets this much, and the volume and how much is going is just crazy. And that's what abounding is. It keeps going and going and going and growing at the same time. Abounding how? I mean, think about that. It's an incredible thing that his love and his mercy is abounding towards us. I love that concept. How much and what does it look like? That mercy of God in your life. How much? How much is it? And he says he will not always chide us. Not going to harass you. He's not going to discipline you in a way that is mean and cruel and nasty and insulting and just hurting you, frankly. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. That is something to be truly thankful for. Hallelujah. And nor has he rewarded us according to our iniquities. Because justice would demand death for our sins. And in mercy, he has forgiven our sins. Amen. That is awesome, and I praise God for that, because I would be a dead man. Like, literally, we'd be in big, big trouble. What happened to my notes? Here we go. How great is his mercy? As high as the heaven is above the earth, the scripture tells us right here. How high is that? How high is that? Limitless. Limitless, right? 1,000,000 miles. Is it 1,000,000,000 miles above the earth? Is it light years away? Is it another galaxy? It's limitless. It's infinite. It goes on and on and on. That's how great his mercy is. And somehow we forget that. That that's his nature, his character. That it's limitless. His mercy is so great. And it's abounding. And then we're like, oh, I don't know, God, will you be merciful? And we like doubt and question. And God's like, my mercy is abounding. David says, I thank God. That's the kind of God I have. His mercy is huge. There's no limit to it. And not only that, in verse 17, how enduring is his mercy? From everlasting to everlasting. You know what's really amazing? The Hebrew word for everlasting is olam. It literally is the vanishing point. That's what it means. Get that picture in your mind. That's how enduring God's mercy is. It goes until the vanishing point. It goes on and on until you can't see anymore. Let your mind go back as far as you can think and reach your vanishing point. You can't think of anything further back. And that's sort of a vanishing point. Sort of. How far has he put away our transgressions? As far as the east is from the west. We've heard this many times from all the pastors here at the church and in classes. The east is from the west. Doesn't it? It keeps going. It's being separated even now from us. Even after it's been separated, if that makes sense. Why is he so merciful toward us? Do you know why? David declares this because God's character and his nature and who he is compared to ours is so opposite. Why is he so merciful for us with this abounding, everlasting, high, high mercy? Because he knows our frame. We're made of dust. He knows how fragile we really are. I'm so weak. My voice gives out. People break ankles, knees, legs, all kinds of things. We're weak. We don't live forever in this physical body. And we're so often disappointed with ourselves, aren't we? And he never is. God never is. We think, and sometimes we thought in the past maybe, that we were stronger than we really are. And then we get hurt. But God knew all along that we were just inflated dust. And he looked past the dust, but he looked to our soul and he cared about our relationship with him, didn't he? And he extends his mercy to us through Jesus, his son, and the blood of Christ. What does David do after he talks about all these personal things that he's experienced? David tells others to bless the Lord. He doesn't tell just his own soul to bless and praise the Lord. He tells others to bless the Lord. First, his angels. David describes the angels as mighty in strength. You see that? And they have way more than we have. And you know what else they do? The angels are those who listen to the Lord and then they obey his commands. I'm going to just say it, knowing myself. They have a leg up on me. Because sometimes I listen, but I don't obey. But he says they listen and obey. All of his hosts, he says, this would bring us in, bring us in with the angels. The angels are referred to as a heavenly host. We know that when Jesus was born and the angels and all their hosts, they sang, right? Glory to God in the highest, and so on and so forth. And the people of God in Scripture are referred to as his host. His ministers who do his will, the Bible says here. All his hosts, the angels, all his hosts with the angels. And then I'm going to ask the praise team to come forward. And then all his works in all places of his dominion, he says at the end in verse 22. All of his works in all places of his dominion. That means everyone, everything, everywhere. Bless the Lord. Everyone. Everywhere, everything, bless the Lord. Let's come full circle to verse 1 as we finish. Now, right now, in the present, talk to yourself. I mean it. Talk to yourself. Tell yourself to praise the Lord with all you got. And don't forget all the Lord's benefits and his incredible character that has a foundation of goodness and righteousness, marked by his steadfast love, his loving kindness. Tell yourself to praise the Lord. So as we close, let's join in that choir of all those that are listed in this psalm, and we're going to bless the Lord with them. Amen. Let's do that, and I'll come back up and close in prayer. Why don't you stand to your feet if you're able?
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh. holy name, sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name.
Lord, praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I just pray, Lord, that we would, Lord, talk to ourselves. That we might praise you the way you want us to and the way in which you are deserving, Lord. With all that is in us, Lord God. Whether it's loud or quiet, standing or sitting, whatever posture we take, let all of us, everything in us, our soul, worship you. Praise you and bless you. So that we may not forget, Lord God, all your benefits and recall them and recount them, Lord God, and praise you still more, Lord God. Hallelujah, Lord. You are worthy of all praise and all glory, Lord. We praise you and thank you, Lord, for your word, your encouragement. Help us, Lord, to find ourselves, Lord, energized in our spirit because we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, God. Father, as we go, Lord, I pray also for our sister Ellen Gomez, Lord, that you would heal her, Lord. You would touch her body, Lord, with just this virus or whatever's going on in her body, Lord. We pray for many others who are struggling. We can name, there's many needs physically, financially, emotionally, relationally, all across the board. There are pits, there are illnesses, there are temptations, there are sins, there's all kinds of things. But, Lord, you take care of all those things. Because we're your children, God, help us to rely on you and to walk through it with you, Lord, knowing that in the end, even if you don't give it to us now, we get it all. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you and thank you, Lord. To you be all the glory. So, God, I ask you for your touch, your anointing, Lord, as we go. Father, bring us back tonight. We might gather, Lord, at 6:30 and seek your face in prayer as your people, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, that we might know you and make you known and become more like you. And it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. Bless the Lord with all your soul.